On in seeking out and affirming your family values. We talked about attachment and the things that create your identity over time. And surprisingly enough, actually, it gave me a few wake-ups just in looking at friendships today. But that issue of identity definitely carries on. Going back to families, I remember my dad chortling away at Monty Python, and Kay's got a wee item here about Monty Python.
Indeed, so we're talking about kind of friendship and the laws of attraction. And there's a nice wee example here. Someone says, "My best friend Olivia and I met in a fiction writing class many years ago. We bonded in an instant during the discussion of one poor soul's incomprehensible story involving a woman who'd undergone surgery and was describing delicately as having lost that which made her a woman. Suddenly, out of my mouth sprang my impersonation of Monty Python's Eric Idle, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, know what I mean? Every other student in the room looked at me as if I'd lost my mind, but Olivia snorted with laughter. Thus, our friendship was born."
So that connect.
Yeah.
And the similarity is again, another thing that's just sticking out like a beacon here, and we'll go into that a little bit more. When you see kids, and hopefully this is useful for parents and working with their children, there is some mechanisms by how friendships develop. First friendships are created when the child's about three. And it's, again, with the same as adults, it's with, surprisingly enough, even with children, they will tend to be similar to them, each other. So it'll be common interests or likeable, and they offer support, and they're similar in size and looks.
And they tend to start parallel play, like we all do, just, you know, go walking, being alongside each other, observing, looking at what you're doing, because they don't actually know how to be a friend. They don't know the rules of social interaction and the rules of engagement, I guess.
But we let's not group walk. We're talking neurotypical kids here. We're not talking about kids that are on the autistic spectrum none of this holds true. It's a completely different kettle of fish. But anyway,
everything that applies to neurotypical kids is just about the polar opposite to kids on the autism spectrum.
But anyway,
and well, it's a good observation, Mike. And there's a real sound reason why that impacts on the whole field of disability or any sort of unusualness in society. So at the heart of this is where friendships come from is similarity. So when you're talking about a child with who will be on the autistic spectrum, just because they're not all that common, they're not going to strike up the similarity. That others are more likely to have.
But even even when there's a similarity with spectrum kids, they don't naturally get the cues and the ways to begin that social interaction. So even if they come across another kid with the same, there's still obstacles that stop them from, you know, pushing through that.
And neither do any child naturally. And that's where the parents come in and they help to make the stuff go right. So you've got to have that openness, and it comes from simple things that you can teach people: greetings, compliments, and kindness, and the ability to have eye contact, smile, and speak loud enough to be heard. So those things, again, with a child with autism, they're going to be harder. And a lot of kids, they don't know how to be confident enough. And without that very basic building blocks, you're not going to get through to the friendship side.
And some kids need practice. Some kids are just not naturally very good at it.
Yes.
And they're a bit shy and withdrawn. And they actually need, you know, some role plays with parents to practice giving compliments, practice saying hello. It sounds bizarre, but it really does build up confidence. Yeah, because there's nothing worse for kids than, and people in general, than feeling rejected.
Or don't know how to enter conversations, begin conversations.
And here's a way of talking to a child about friendship. Draw two overlapping circles and say, "This circle is you. The other circle is the other child. The part in the middle, the overlap, is where the friendships grow. If you're talking about something that's outside of the overlap, that's true only of you and not the other kid. That's nothing to do with friendship." So friendships, it's kind of like some kids will go, look at me, or I've got this, or come and see my flash toy. And other kids kind of will step back. There's another quite cute message of a wee girl who came up to a researcher and says, look, I know how to make friends. How? You just go off by yourself and look very, very sad, and then people come over to you. Well, it works once or twice, but the fact what people are looking for is what they share.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
So children need to can be deliberately taught, well, what do you think you share with this other child that you'd like to develop your friendship with? And sort of lastly, and we'll go back over the adults a bit after a song, but lastly, it's about fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And friendships generate and give fun. And so it's positively psyched, it's about being positive, and so are friendships. At the heart of human relationships is that ability to enjoy.
I can't imagine many friendships that carry on without any fun.
Indeed. It's the death knell for sure.
Sure. So, you got a tune you wanted to spin us?
Yeah, please. Just straight to the point, we're going to have a real good time together.
And Velvet Underground.
We're reading the Velvet Underground.
Yes. Oh, good choice, Patrick.
We're gonna have a real good time together. We're gonna have a real good time together. We're gonna have a real good time together. We're gonna laugh and dance and shout together.
Straight off the vinyl, only on the most. Nice one. Well done. Good choice.
We're going to bawl and shout, he says. So that range of emotions that friendships involve is really important. You know, for males as much as females, it has that emotional component to it. And they're just hanging out and doing things and sharing times.
Mm. So are there obvious differences, or are they all stereotypes between what male friendship versus female friendship? Is it, you know, is it all just stereotypes and actually everybody's exactly the same from that perspective?
Look, I pinch myself often, but you keep on coming back to the science, and mostly it's stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much overlap between even as something as basic as male and female in society, yet we're way more alike than we're different.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Evolution, sort of. Yes.
But you know, people do want to have really want to foster differences between men and women, don't they? Doesn't it seem that way sometimes?
It does seem that way.
Whether women sort of, I think a lot of women want to really act like males or portray, you know, males as being completely right out there, and vice versa too.
Mm.
But actually, it's not really the case at all, is it?
Yeah, no, fashion, time and tide. You know, the idea of, just an example, was female leaders. Mm. You know, there have been female leaders throughout history, but sometimes it seems like, you know, as though it's just, I don't know, you know, the glass ceiling.
Yeah, male dominated for certain. Mm. Yeah, especially in the 80s and 90s. They reckon it's all quietly changing, but it seems to be very quietly changing, Mike, I have to say. Haven't noticed. Like, I did a thesis on it around women in management.
Oh, did you?
In the early 80s, uh-huh. Stress coping and health, and I would be very interested to see if there were any differences, you know. And their main sort of stress was, you know, the difference between work and home, the conflict between work and home.
Right.
I'd say that's fairly, would still be similar today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, and just following that, because one of the most interesting things inside friendship, so it's, a lot of it's quite straightforward. You've got to have the opportunity to be together. You've got to be open to an interaction. You've got to be kind. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be some reciprocity, some giving and taking.
You've got to be interested in the other person. Mm.
And that's the similarity. So they will have a similar interest to you. But deeper than that, and what Kay's mentioning about a manager and a mum, deeper than that, one of the real heart things, and this was really the surprise for me, was that friendships actually confirm social identity. So if you're a sports person, look around you, who's your best friend?
Mm-hmm.
Tend to be a sports person. Mm-hmm. If you're a church person, will tend to be a church person. So we're kind of...
Well, birds of a feather.
But you think
that saying holds.
You think that friendships develop, you know, organically and nicely and naturally, but we've got these rules of engagement running along behind us and kind of affecting.
But it's like human nature, so it's like the path of least resistance in a lot of ways, isn't it? It's like if you are in the real sport arena and that's what you get, that's what makes you tick, and so you naturally gravitate towards people of the same thinking, the same ilk. Or like, you know, Kiwis living in London. Well, all right, well, so they all end up at Shepherd's Bush, or they all end up living in this huge area full of other Kiwis, you know, and it's not like anybody that consciously doing it, but you just, in human nature, you gravitate towards other people that either get you or identify with them.
Exactly.
Yep. Shared experiences.
Yeah. And your brain's got to keep it all right. So that we're back to identity. Mm. Who am I? I'm a Kiwi in London. And okay, if you talk about manager and mum.
So you have different friends. I mean, I certainly, the people who are important to you in your life when you're out working, and how that friendships change when you become, for me, when I became a mum, full-time mum for a bit, I met a whole new group of people that I identified with.
Mm-hmm.
And they've stayed. Because you're a mum until you drop, really.
And that helped to affirm that new, as important identity of mum. So that's what the friends give, is their affirmation of who am I.
Yeah. Mm. So how does positively, I mean, excuse me, early morning frog in the throat. How does positively psyched, you know, help people in this sphere from a friendship perspective? Do you help in getting people to break through ice, or do you help people to sustain friendships? Because some, you know, they can start friendships, but those friendships don't grow and just disappear. What can you do for people who are finding this is a bit of an angsty thing for them?
Well, we love the positive bit of it, you know, that the friendships need the positive take on it. But the other thing we can do is we can break it down and show how the rules of engagement work, and coaching a person through either to be more effective in how they're establishing relationships or coping with the breakup of relationships. Mm-hmm. We hope to do that in another session about some of that grief and loss when relationships do keel over. Another nice thing about the modern age is the ability to sustain friendships. It's a lot easier with email. You know, email
Or texting or whatnot.
So you're maintaining a degree of interaction. Without that interaction, relationships will tend to fade. But we're able to sustain them a lot easier now.
So, but do you think this connectivity world that we're now building for ourselves, or already have built for ourselves, and it's just going to get more and more and more, especially, I guess, for the younger generation who are effectively growing up in this connective, you know, world, where they don't know any different, is this type of, you know, instant interaction between people, you know, on other sides of the world, is that going to have a negative effect long term in how people actually, how human beings actually relate to each other? Because, you know, this is going to, it's already changing the way people communicate.
Friendships require you to stay within some boundaries. Friends can probably push you further than anyone else can, but even they must stay within some boundaries. If someone starts to tell you, you know, how you should be dressing every blooming time they see you, they will not be your friend.
Yeah.
So the digital connects also have got to hit that note of reciprocity and nuance. So that supportiveness, they need to know who you are and they need to support you.
And that can be around, you know, doing some quite tricky stuff around, you know, disclosing personal stuff about yourself to the other person and receiving some reciprocity about that back. You know, it's quite hard putting yourself out there and hoping that you've made the right decision. Because if you don't have that, you're not likely to have a friendship that lasts.
And
I was just going to say, it is around, for us, a friend is around feeling that they are supporting you, which sounds a bit narcissistic, actually, but it is.
It's what's true. That's the, that was the kicker today.
Well, everybody has a, you know, I mean, human nature does have a slight narcissistic, tiny, you know, tiny. Because, you know, people do think about themselves. Which, you know, is
we
part
are
of
quite
it.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
Yeah. Look after yourself. Be a good friend.
Indeed.
All right. And so, and you guys, somebody should, you know, if they people want to talk about whether the, and we're talking adults and kids, you guys can help.
Yep.
You bring, you know, and is it just talking about, you know, neurotypical versus ASD? Is this, can you play a part in both of those sides of things?
Absolutely.
Both of those, yes.
Yeah? Both for kids, particularly teenagers.
Aye.
Which is a tough.
And that's
tough.
More of that where relationships,
very important period,
tend to turn over a bit as well.
Yes, that's right. Where new love interests come in and,
And compete.
Best friendships are challenged.
I don't want to talk about love interests.
Okay.
When it comes to my children, thanks very much.
In denial, we'll let you stay there for a bit.
Yeah, la 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 la. So yeah, so Positively Psyched, just give you a call if or check you out on your web.
positivelypsyched.co.nz,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. That'd be great.
Yeah, no worries. All right, thanks very much, guys.
Lovely.
And you're in next week, eh?
We are.
All right, let's play a bit of Asta from Australia and this track's called My Heart Is on Fire.
Out on the dusty road, your eyes flicker to and fro.